It's time for the Graham Capital Market Update, a daily look at Wall Street brought to you by Graham Capital, an estate planning and investment management firm right here in Florida. How hard is your money working for you? Let's find out with your hosts, David Graham and Stosh Graham.
This is Dave Graham, the retirement guy, and you're listening to Graham Capital's Market Update. You could hear us every day at 6 o'clock on 1250 WHNZ. Tune us in and get a good idea of what's going on in the markets during that day. Show is brought to you by Graham Capital Advisors. And hey, if you're a listener of Dave Ramsey, I want you to know we're the only people on the radio in the Tampa Bay, Sarasota area that's been approved by Dave. We are one of his smart investor pros. So if you like what Dave has to say about investing, guess what? We've got his blessing. Come to see us. Just go to GrahamCapitalAdvisors.com. That be said, at our office, all of planning starts with a three-legged stool, a trifecta, call it what you want. It's legal, it's planning, it's investing. All three of them. You have to have all three. Okay? Legal, it's more than just dying and getting a will. It's a matter of protecting yourself in case, God forbid, you got sick, you came down with some kind of a neurological disease, something that would be atrocious. The leading cause of bankruptcy for anyone over the age of 55 is health issues. Health issues. You got to take that off the table. How are you going to pay for that? What, buy a long-term care policy? Let me tell you something. I could tell you the whole history of it, but to cut to the chase, they can't control healthcare costs. That's why there are major companies today that no longer sell it, because after you get a policy in 2 years or so, you're going to have to get a letter saying, hey, either pay us more, we're going to increase your premium, or we got to cut your benefits. That's not going to help you. That's why you go to an attorney, and if you get a good revocable trust that has all the necessary elder law documents in it, well, then you're allowing somebody else to reposition what you have in life. So if you do get sick, you'll try to avoid as best you possibly can the whole issue of spend down. Try to get Uncle Sam to pick up some of the tab. Good gosh. But either way, get good legal documents. And like I said, what's the sense of us getting you 3 or 4% more in interest if you're going to lose it all anyway? Let's take that issue off the table. And then you have planning. You go to a real planner. Someone that has a professional designation next to their name. Why is that important? Because that tells you they have pride in their profession. They want to know extra on just trying to be a salesman like you so have so many of these financial people on the radio. They're just trying to sell you widgets. But go to a certified financial planner. Go to a certified estate planner. Go to a certified senior advisor. Go to a CPA if it's tax related. We have all of those in our office, but go to somebody that is a real planner, not somebody that's just going to take your money and give it to somebody else to manage. Always remember this. If you go to anybody that has the name of a big company on their letterhead, guess what? They don't work for you. They work for that company first, and they're more concerned about their retirements than your retirements. Then last but not least, you invest for retirement, which means don't lose it. First rule of investing, don't lose money. Second rule of investing, don't forget the first rule. Look, at Graham Capital Advisors, we can show you how easy it is. And if you follow our guidance, I guarantee you, the stress will leave your body the moment you leave our office. So let us help you. Go to our website, schedule an appointment. We have offices in Tampa on Kennedy Boulevard, right across from the West Shore Mall, and on Ringling Boulevard in Sarasota, and then down in Venice. So if you're way south of town, if you're down in Englewood or Northport, it's worth the drive up to Venice just to see us and get the guidance that you're going to need. So go to our website, schedule an appointment. It's GrahamCapitalAdvisors.com. That's GrahamCapitalAdvisors.com. And, you know, remember, it's tax season now. The sooner that you start putting your documents together, get good professional advice, please. I always tell people, the more that you spend by going to a good accountant, the better a return you're going to get. They always pay for themselves. So if you go on the cheap, you're probably losing money. Go get good professional advice. Always go to a CPA. Always go to a CPA. If you do that, you're going to be thankful you did. And we have one right in our office here. Okay, come and see us. Get your taxes done sooner than later. Get it done now. And believe me, if you do that, you're going to be thankful you did. Just go to GrahamCapitalAdvisors.com. And with that, as always, before we get started, let's all offer a huge heartfelt thanks to our police, firefighters, emergency personnel, our teachers. What about all the men and women in the military services who are so far from home and protecting us? Where would we be without them? Thank God we have them. And with that, if you're like 9 out of 10 clients that I meet every week, or like virtually every American within 5 years of retiring, you simply don't have a financial game plan. So am I describing you? You're basically operating in the dark. You don't know what you can and you can't afford in retirement, right? But the real reason you don't have a financial game plan is because you don't know what to do. You're scared, so you do nothing. That's human nature. You don't know how to generate income when those paychecks start coming every 2 weeks. So you start worrying, and you worry because you really don't know if you have enough money. Especially last year of a lifetime. So all of this kind of weighs you on your shoulders like a ton of bricks. But the one thing that you know is that you can't afford to risk losing one more thin dime of your retirement savings. This is taking you a lifetime to earn it. That's one thing for sure. But if you continue to keep doing the same thing, you know what? You're going to get the same result, which is nothing. The result will be the same. You always hear me use these analogies. If your head is hurting, I have a suggestion. Stop hitting the wall with it. Please. So look, take the first step. You know, make 2024 the year that you get your financial act together. So call us. Call us for a free, no obligation consultation. Let's see if we're the right fit. And if we can help you, I think we can. I can assure you, with us, we specialize in safety, security, asset preservation. But at the same time, we're making your money work for you to provide income in retirement. And in most cases, you're making that money while you're sleeping. You know, we're not searching for a 30% return, but you might be surprised at what some of the new investment strategies out there, new vehicles that are out there that can do it for you. They weren't even around when our parents or grandparents were retired. If you want to learn more about all this, then come and see us. Come and see us. Go to our website. It's GrahamCapitalAdvisors.com. Or if you remember a phone number better, it's 800-808-5009. That's 800-808-5009. Or just put us into Google and put in guaranteeing your retirement and watch what happens. We love what we do. Come and see us. And with that, and with me, we have Stosh Graham, the Chief Investment Officer, Managing Director of Graham Capital Wealth Management in Washington, D.C. That's GrahamCapitalWealth.com. Hey, buddy, how you doing?
How's it going, David?
Pretty good. Let me ask you. You know, we received another round of this inflation data. So how should people look at this inflation report and what should they know?
Look, I think people were surprised by the increase in both the core and the headline CPI for the month of February. And look, CPI, Consumer Price Index, it's what the consumer pays. Now, there are certainly some dynamics. And again, we've talked about this over the last couple of months. This hopefully is not new to listeners. We have repeatedly flagged risks that inflation could stay to the high side. The idea that we would get to 2% inflation, which is the long run average for the Federal Reserve, it's their target, was going to be a very tough task. Now, admittedly, this inflation run is coming earlier than what we thought. We thought the real risks were the second half of the year. Now, look, I would say in the coming months, do not be surprised if you start to see the growth rate of inflation. So right now, year over year, headline inflation has grown 3.2% and 3.8% for the core. Do not be surprised if the year over year growth rates over the next couple of months fall. But again, I think the overarching thesis here is that getting from 3 to 2 is going to be tougher than getting from 9 to 3, which we've already done. That was last year's story. Now we're seeing some fight. We're seeing some growth, some reacceleration, which again, I think surprised people. But with that being said, do not be surprised if it comes lower in the coming months. You still have some lagging variables, largely writ in shelter, which is causing this to be high. But look, if you look back at the February CPI report, energy-related gasoline prices were one of the major variables. Look, there are just multiple variables at play right now. I don't think it's just as easy a story to say, oh, wow, February's numbers were hot. They actually showed some growth. And that's going to continue in the coming months. I would not say that. I honestly believe the bigger risks to inflation actually rising are still in the second half of the year.
Well, okay, so inflation, obviously now the bulk of it has been knocked down, but the last point or two, it's going to be tougher. Like it always is with just about anything, I guess, when you're almost there. It's like taking an old long road trip, and the last 50 miles is always the hardest. But when you looked at the market reaction was choppy. You know, traders initially focused on, you know, kind of the key details that suggested there are pockets of relief on this inflation. And before, you know, again, you know, when you look at what's going on with the markets, treasury yields rose, the S&P, you know, 500 opened a little slightly higher. So you had the consumer price index. You know, this is, I guess, the last inflation report the Fed will see before its meeting next week. How do you feel this will last now from this week going forward until this meeting? Do you think the markets are going to be choppy and consistent? You think they're going to rise?
Admittedly, I'm surprised. I'm surprised that the markets have held in like they have. For the most part, markets have actually done really well. And again, I'm surprised by that because obviously with this higher than expected inflation print, the odds of a rate cut decreased. Now, not materially, but they have decreased.
Right.
And, you know, we've highlighted the June meeting on a few occasions now as being the battleground for where you're going to get your first rate cut. Now, the odds are down to 52%. 24 hours ago, it was 62%. And 48 hours ago, it was darn near 80%.
Right.
So the odds have come down, but markets have actually gone higher. Now, if you look at the underlying components, you are seeing the winners win and the losers lose. And if you're in the middle, you're probably losing. Because again, higher interest rates are like gravity. Higher interest rates, gravity's tougher. It's tough for you to get up off the ground, jump higher. That would be the equivalent to stock prices. But you are seeing your more tech-focused companies, ones that have higher growth rates in the near and long run, continue to have momentum higher. And again, I'm surprised by this just because I'm generally worried about the ability of these companies to continue to maintain their profit margin at a time when, broadly speaking, profit margin has repeatedly suffered in the last couple of months. Earnings growth has suffered, again, broadly speaking, for a majority of the S&P 500 companies, great majority actually, has suffered. And now it's only going to be even a tougher road ahead because, naturally, short-run interest rates and, as you mentioned, the 10-year U.S. Treasury longer-term interest rates increased, and that's obviously not good for profitability for businesses who need to borrow and issue corporate bonds in the capital markets.
Well, you know, it's, you know, I mean, anytime inflation, you know, starts or it seems like it's not in control or whatever, different markets are affected. And I noticed where oil now is fluctuating quite a bit. West Texas crude now has climbed above 78. Do you feel, at 78 a barrel, I mean, do you feel that the price of gas might start going up again?
It's possible. I mean, you're seeing quite the discrepancy between oil and natural gas. I think that's probably one of the big stories, David, over the last couple of quarters, the divergence between oil and natural gas. I think some people conventionally believe, well, if all energy prices are going to move up together and they're all going to move down together, there are different dynamics that impact oil and natural gas. Right now, we have a swell of oversupply in natural gas, and some of that is geared towards the fact that we have a lot of natural gas produced from the Permian Basin, and people are, when they drill in the Permian Basin, they're drilling for oil. You have
right.
a lot of associated gas coming. You had a warm winter. Europe is kind of full. Certain most pockets, they're full of supply, so they have all the natural gas they need. The White House just put out basically a moratorium for any liquefied natural gas projects for the time being. That obviously is in the short run bearish for natural gas. But I still think you have a host of tailwinds that are in the early stages of developing for natural gas, which should allow natural gas to start catching up to oil. But as you mentioned, oil has had a slow and steady climb over the last few months.
Right. Well, inflation, again, it affects everything. So I guess at the beginning of this show, let's just talk about it for a second. So why are inflation reports, why are they really important to the markets overall?
Well, look, I mean, we talked about interest rates and gravity just a couple moments ago. That still holds true. And we've talked before about that analogy on a previous show, so we won't go more into that example. But look, financial asset prices are basically the present value of future earnings and the growth rate of those future earnings. And so when you have higher interest rates, or you have the perception that we're going to have higher interest rates in the future, you're going to have a bigger discount on all future earnings. And so when you have a bigger discount on all those future earnings, the growth of those earnings, and you bring it back to a present value for what the fair value of the stock should be, the present value is going to be lower as your discount rate increases. So that's systematically why financial asset prices come under pressure when you have higher than expected interest rate, or excuse me, higher than expected inflation, which forces the hand of the Federal Reserve to keep interest rates higher for longer. And again, why would the Federal Reserve want to keep interest rates higher for longer? They want to keep interest rates higher for longer because of their dual mandate. Inflation is one of the two dual mandates that they have and that they focus on. So Federal Reserve isn't getting 2% long-term target inflation, and we're not on that path, as the last couple of months have shown.
Right.
And the Federal Reserve has to keep their foot on the gas pedal and keep interest rates higher than maybe what market participants believe.
Right. You know, I noticed where Jamie Dimon, he says that the U.S. recession is not off the table yet. And he says that he wouldn't take the prospect of a recession in the U.S. off the table, and that the Fed should wait before it cuts interest rates, that the world is pricing in a soft landing at probably 70 or 80%. He said this at some business conference, and he thinks that the chance of a soft landing in the next year or two is half of that. The worst case would be stagflation. You know, for our listeners, explain to them, well, your feelings on that, but also explain to them what actually is stagflation.
Yeah, so stagflation, we've battled bouts of that over the last actually few years. It doesn't get a lot of attention, but basically stagflation is where you have elevated levels of inflation in a stagnating economy, an economy that has lackluster growth rates, or growth rates that are below inflation rates, basically meaning that inflation is the primary reason why you're seeing the economy grow. Actually, it's the only reason why the economy is growing. Remember, how we grade our economy and economic growth is dictated off of primarily one metric, and that's gross domestic product, which is the sum of all consumption. What we buy, whether services or goods, it gets totaled up. When you talk about inflation, say we're talking about CPI, Consumer Price Index, it's the cost of those goods and services. So if the cost of those goods and services increases at a faster rate than your economic growth, well, then that means you could attribute basically 100% of the economic growth to inflation. But yet, there are pockets of the economy slowing down because people are buying less goods from a quantitative perspective. So say they're buying, instead of 60 goods, they're buying 50 goods, but they're having to spend more for those 50 goods. And that is a rebalancing, that dynamic. Retailers, whether it's Target, Walmart, Foot Locker, Macy's, Nordstrom, retailers at some point over the last 18 months have been warning that consumers have been exchanging or have been changing, that we've seen a consumption pattern change where people are either buying, say, the private label versus the brand, or they're just buying less goods in general. But they're having to spend is just as much or maybe more due to inflation. And again, that is a worrisome development because it indicates that in the near-term future, consumers are not going to be able to keep up with these continued price increases, and that they're going to have to go to artificial terms of payment which is really what we've been seeing over the last 12 months. People just simply can't keep up with this, because we know this because we look at credit card data, we see the credit card balances, and we see the delinquencies of those credit cards, and both are at elevated levels and are continuing to accelerate.
Okay, Stosh, let me ask you something. Is the Fed behind the curve on this monetary policy?
So it depends. It's funny how this situation now has largely gotten political, but I would say this. The Federal Reserve was playing catch up with the steepest increase in modern monetary policy history in terms of borrowing rates. And we've never seen an increase like what we've seen from the Federal Reserve. And again, they were playing catch up because they got inflation wrong. Inflation, yes, was transitory, but they really got either the commentary around it wrong, or they took it for granted and they got the levels that just simply were just too high. And look, there are real world ramifications to missing on inflation. You see the income and wealth disparities just have exploded. Now, that's not all necessarily on the Federal Reserve. There's certainly fiscal policy coming out of COVID. We had the 2017 tax cuts. We had the COVID fiscal stimulus. And we know, again, in hindsight, we know where that money went. And so that's why we have, you know, a wealth disparity that's much, much larger than ever before. And again, that's not a political comment. It's just the reality of the situation. Because right now, people are trying to figure out how they're going to pay for the deficit, which has now grown at nominal levels that we just haven't seen. And on a relative level, we haven't seen really since the 1920s, 1930s. And so now we're trying to figure out how we're going to pay for it to get this deficit down, which, to be frank, everyone talks tough on it, but no one really wants to do it. So it's a tough situation. And so is the Federal Reserve behind? They probably could have raised. In hindsight, they probably should not have stopped. They should probably have risen interest rates, maybe another 25 basis points, now seeing the inflation numbers that we have. But with that being said, they probably exercised the greater caution, because if they got it wrong, the hard landing would have been tougher. And so to your previous comment about Jamie Dimon, I think this is important. With interest rates staying higher for longer, the chances of a hard landing only increase, even if it's less than, say, 50-50. Say it's only 15 or 20% that we have for a hard landing this year, maybe later this year. The odds probably increased by about 5%, because now for the first 6 months of 2024, we're going to have 5+% borrowing rates among banks. Prime rates are going to be high. Any floating rate bonds are going to maintain elevated levels. And that's amazing to think, because again, 90 days ago, the market had 6 rate cuts in 2024 and 3 rate cuts by the June meeting. And right now we're trying to figure out, it's a coin flip odds, coin flip and declining odds that we even get a rate cut in June. So that just really tells you where or the expectations of monetary policy have gone in a very short term time frame, 60 to 90 days.
Sure. Well, I guess, you know, that brings on the fact that for the average person out there, you know, when you have financial assets like stocks, stocks being affected when the long-term risk-free rates increase, what does that tell you? What would you say to people?
I would say be cautious. You have to ask yourself when you're investing, one, what are your goals? What are your objectives? But again, if you're putting money into the market, and I repeatedly say this on the show, there's more than just investing in the stock market. Stock market is not your only investment vehicle. There are numerous other vehicles. But conventionally, a lot of people think of CDs, they think of money market account, they think of checking, savings, in the stock market. There are a whole host of different asset classes that one can get exposure to in their investment account. I would just say, in terms of investing and how you're supposed to approach it, you need to be very selective and you need to be balanced in your thought process about what you're going to invest in.
Right. Well said. Well, Stosh, you know, with the markets as they are now, you know, this past week we've been talking, you know, about how different facets of the markets have increased and decreased, and how the markets had such an incredible rise due to the Magnificent Seven last year, all the tech companies. Now it seems to be affecting overall our economy overall. Now that we know that this is going to be, it's obviously already a political year, an election year, how do you feel that will affect people's monies in the long run. You know, when you think about it for a second, historically, what should we expect? What should the average person look for?
Well, normally you think in an election year, the stock market does pretty well. There's a lot of research about that. Now, I think some of that is circumstantial, but then also too, I mean, if you want to put, let's call it a tinfoil hat conspiracy theory, you know, a lot of people believe that maybe the presidency can influence policy, influence the Federal Reserve, dictate the economic data that comes out. And they want to keep it everything as rosy as possible just so they can win re-election. So I think conventionally that's the thought process. And then maybe after they're elected, maybe a month or two after, they rip the Band-Aid off and everything, you know, goes to, you know, it looks ugly. But look, I think from our end, one of the things you want to keep an eye on, and depending on who you think is going to win, there have been a couple of white papers written about this. There are other ways to invest thematically by sector by who wins. So say if you see a change in the White House,
right,
and you want to invest in the sectors that did the poorest during the prior presidency. And if you think the incumbent's going to win, you want to invest in the sectors that did the best while he was in office. You have seen sector pivots based off of presidential elections.
Well, that's why you're here to guide people. As always, we appreciate your sound sage advice, and we'll be talking to you tomorrow. You take care.
Take care, David.
You were listening to Stash Graham. He's our Chief Investment Officer, Managing Director of Graham Capital Wealth Management in Washington, D.C. That's GrahamCapitalWealth.com. And let me just say something to you, that he's the only true professional money manager you're going to hear on the radio on the west coast of Florida. He's in charge of hundreds and hundreds of millions of dollars, and he's pretty good at what he does. If you feel that now is a good time for you to get a good second opinion, why don't you let us help you? Why don't you get to talk to Stash personally if need be and get the guidance that you need? We can do that for you at Graham Capital Advisors. Go to our website, schedule an appointment. It's GrahamCapitalAdvisors.com. If you really want to be lucky in life, just go help someone. If you do that, God's going to smile on you, and you're going to get to be incredibly lucky. You know, we have it right on our currency. In God we trust. Good luck. God bless. Take care of each other. Stay safe out there. We'll be talking to you tomorrow.
Thanks for listening to the Graham Capital Market Update. For more information on any of today's topics, visit GrahamCapitalAdvisors.com. This program is sponsored by Graham Capital Advisors, LLC, an independent estate planning and insurance agency. Investment advisory services are provided by Graham Capital Wealth Management, LLC, an independent registered investment advisor. Advisory services are only offered to clients or prospective clients where Graham Capital Wealth Management and its representatives are properly licensed or exempt from licensure. The information provided is for educational and informational purposes only and does not constitute investment advice, and it should not be relied on as such. Individuals should consult a qualified professional for guidance before making any purchasing decisions.
This is Dave Graham, the retirement guy. Did you purchase an annuity that hasn't made you any money? Well, the good news is that you're not stuck with it. At Graham Capital Advisors, our new proprietary software will show you how to redirect your money into the highest available income payouts for life. These are the newest rates. If you're 60 years old, you can get 7.2%. At 65, 7.9%. At 70, 8.5%. And at 80, 10%. Sounds good? To schedule an appointment, just go to GrahamCapitalAdvisors.com. This is Dave Graham, the retirement guy. Did you purchase an annuity that hasn't made you any money? Well, the good news is that you're not stuck with it. At Graham Capital Advisors, our new proprietary software will show you how you can redirect your money into the highest available guaranteed income payouts for life. If you're 65 years old, you can receive 7.9%. At 70 years old, 8.2%. If you're 75, 8.99%. Need help? Go to our website and schedule an appointment. That's Graham Capital Advisors.